As we have been called into worship this morning, let us hear the words from Psalm 147, the first verse. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God! How pleasant and fitting to praise Him! I hope that as we've come together as a community of believers this morning, we are ready to praise God with worship, and let's continue that through prayer right now. Let us pray. God, we do come before You. We are still and we are recognizing You are God, Creator of all, Lord over all. This morning, as we have gathered together to sing praises to Your name, to be touched by Your Holy Spirit and convicted to move and live this week as You guide and direct, show us how to listen to Your voice. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
It's good to be back with you again today. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 142. There is a fountain filled with blood. Let's stand as we sing.
Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing us to come here today to worship You, Lord. Please be with those who are on our prayer list who need your help and Your prayers. And please take this offering and further Your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
morning. So good to see all of you sitting down here. I want to make sure you can see this book. This is Lillian's book, Nursery Rhymes. Now, I remember when I was young, and I wanted to see if you could remember when you were younger. Some of you may still have some nursery rhymes read to you. I can remember having them read to me when I was a lot smaller from my mother, and there were a lot of nursery rhymes I think we all still know. And I wanted to ask you to raise your hand if you have heard some of these nursery rhymes before. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Humpty Dumpty. Ever heard of Humpty Dumpty? Remember? He sat on a wall, something happened to him, he fell. We won't get into that. But what about the three blind mice? Heard about three blind mice? Some of you. Little Miss Muffet. Have you heard about Little Miss Muffet? Okay, a few. Now, what about this one? What about Little Bo Peep? Remember what happened to Little Bo Peep? Okay, you remember that? Listen to what happened to Little Bo Peep. It says, Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Have you heard that before? I started thinking about that as I was older. If you think about it, sheep, if they're left alone and lost, they're probably not going to come home. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. I don't think they'd be just wagging their tails, finding their way home without help from a shepherd, like we read about in the Bible. I think sheep need help to make sure they're not lost and taken care of. And so to me, that nursery rhyme was a little confusing because there was a verse I started thinking about where Jesus is talked about as the shepherd, and we're talked about as sheep. So I want to read that one verse to you in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And then I want to talk about what is going on there, okay? It says this, when Jesus landed, he had been on a boat, and saw a large crowd. So picture Jesus seeing a church this size outside, 10 times as many people, a large crowd. He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And the reason that it said they look like sheep without a shepherd is because they needed to be taught how to live and how to love God and understand who Jesus was. That's why we come together as the church, to worship God, to learn what Jesus teaches us in the Bible, and to pray to him. That's what you do as a family throughout the week. And so I want you to remember this week, our discussion this morning about how important it is to listen to Jesus and how he teaches us through the Bible. That's why he's called the Good Shepherd and we're called sheep, because we need to listen to Jesus in order to follow him and live like he wants us to. Because without Jesus, we wouldn't really know what we're doing and we'd be like sheep lost without a shepherd. So this week, pray and thank Jesus for the way he teaches us to make sure everything we do and say is what he wants us to. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, teaching us how to live, how to speak, and so we can do everything like he wants us to do for your kingdom. And we pray it in your Son's name. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
And left to die, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus. sometimes you fall. So follow Jesus, follow Jesus, follow Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. And when the love spills over, the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and me. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
If you will please take out your bulletin insert. We're going to sing Change My Heart, O God. Let's stand as we sing Change My Heart, O God.
They say that confession is good for the soul. So I'm going to strengthen my soul today. Without looking at your bulletin, and all I'm going to ask, and I'm not going to ask anybody to say it, but if you know the first hymn we sang in worship today, just raise your hand. Interesting. And I'm going to tell you, I would be in the group most often that my hand didn't go up. Because I've sung these hymns. I remember as a child memorizing the hymns and holding the hymn book. I remember every now and then Mama would turn the book because I had it upside down. Now that's how young I was. But knowing that even as a child, I wanted to know the words. And so I learned the words. But what my confession is today is how powerful the words are in the first hymn we sang. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Verse 1 tells us it's Christ that did it. Verse 2 tells us, and that was the verse that was hard to sing. You sang it so beautifully. The thief on the cross, and I'm just as vile as he is. You sang that confessionally a while ago. You ever consider yourself that vile? We are all sinners. And then it is the blood of Christ that doesn't lose its power, and may the ransomed church try to be that church that sins no more. What a great challenge for us. And then that final word, kind of like the verse that you just sang so beautifully, fly to Jesus and live. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. That is our message. What a powerful hymn. I think we ought to sing it again. It's a powerful hymn. And those words just, and my confession is sometimes I sang this hymn and just sang the words. But today the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me through our hymn singing. It is my prayer he does that, that I would be that potter that we just sang in our second hymn, that chorus, and let him mold us and make us after his will. Well, that was a free sermon. I'm not even going to charge you for that one, okay? Just the Lord laid that on my heart. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns. I just got word from Adam that Billy had gone home from the hospital, Rebecca's brother. We're grateful for that. Caroline Allen had a weird vacation. She had her vacation scheduled, had her gallbladder removed, and then went on vacation. I don't think that was the original plan, but we hope she's feeling so much better now that that is gone. She got very sick, and we're grateful that she is better. Don Ray Keith had surgery this week. We want to keep Don Ray in our prayers as she's recuperating from knee surgery. My daughter had surgery this week. Thank you for your prayers for her. She is doing well. Atlas Phillips is home, and we want to keep him lifted up, anticipating some more conversation about possible more procedures, and we want to remember him. Debbie Seal is on our prayer list, and she had a bad fall, broke her leg, and it has been a very serious break, and we want to keep Debbie lifted up. That's Brian's sister-in-law. We want to keep her lifted before the Lord. And then a name that I had on my desk today, Wayne Barber, is going to be having surgery. Am I right on that? This back surgery. Sometimes I find him things, and I didn't look at the date. I didn't know if it was an old one, but it was the right one. So we want to remember Wayne at Moore County. Is that at Moore County? So we want to be remembering Wayne with back surgery later this week. Wayne Barber, please add him to the list. You'll see the other names there, and one we've added over to our long term is that of Debbie Hurley. And Debbie's going to be going for a procedure on August the 4th that could lead to a very big surgery. And we want to be lifting her up. They did find the cancer has returned, and they have now found two tumors. We just want to be much in prayer for God to lead that whole medical team as they facilitate healing in this process. Every name on this list is important to God, and every name on this list is important to the church family at Flat Springs Baptist Church. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilty stains. Oh God, you give us strength for life and living. Until that day, we shall fly away into your very presence. And there we shall live as we have never lived before. But Lord, as long as we inhabit these bodies made of clay, we deal with the struggles, with their fragileness, with their vulnerability, with the fact that they can become sick and diseased. And that changes our world on this earth. And so these that are struggling, we lift to your care, asking that you would help in their healing, oh God, as you created them. And you know their blueprint better than any doctor. We ask, oh God, for your power to manifest itself in them. And now, God, would you continue to inhabit our praise, and may each of us resolve in our heart that before we leave today, we will praise you often for your blessing. In Christ's name.
To be coming forward at this time, I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 21. John Quiggle came down with some food poisoning while in Ohio, and Steve Cameron is going to be substituting for him in our reading today. If you're able, I invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word.
One day, Jesus was teaching the crowds
when I called out to him, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me."
"Friend, who made me a judge over you that I might decide such things? Beware. Guard against all kinds of greed. Your life is not measured by how much you own."
Then Jesus told the crowd a story.
"Once there was a rich man. He had a field that produced many crops. He said to himself,
'What should I do? I don't have enough room for all my crops. I know. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough to store all my wheat and my other goods. Then I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored for years to come. Now, take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry.'
But God said to the rich man,
'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for?'
Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God."
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, gentlemen. What a tremendous story. You noticed the title of the sermon, or maybe you didn't. Not quite as smart as he thought. It's interesting that in the very beginning of this story, there's a guy that wants God to make it fair. He wants Jesus to make it fair. Jesus says, "You probably don't want me to make it fair." Sometimes we don't really know what we're asking for, and we don't really believe what we think we're asking for. I love the story of the little boy who was pulling his wagon, and he came by the preacher, and one of his wheels fell off his wagon. And the little fellow said, "Doggone it, I hate that." And the preacher said, "No, son, in adversity, when bad things happen, you should just thank God. Say, 'Thank you, Lord.'" The little boy said, "Thank you, Lord." No sooner had he said that, the second wheel of the four wheels fell off. He said, "Man, I really can't believe this is happening to my wagon." The preacher said, "Son, that's the wrong attitude. You need to have an attitude of praise in your life." Shouldn't we all have that attitude? Amen. No sooner had the preacher said that, the other two wheels just fell off the wagon and down it went to the ground. And the little fellow just hit himself on the forehead. "I can't believe it." The preacher said, "Son, it's all about your wrong attitude. You should instead say, 'Praise the Lord,' like you believe it." The little boy looked at that wagon, all four wheels off to the side, and he said, "Praise the Lord." And all four wheels popped right back up on that wagon. And the preacher said, "I can't believe that." Sometimes we're not quite as smart as we think we are. What about our faith walk? I'm going to ask us a very difficult question. Maybe the most important question you answer this week. Is your faith your superstition? That's a question you ought to really ponder. I ought to really ponder. Is it just that fallback thing when the times are hard, when the wheels are falling off the wagon? Is our faith our superstition? Is it like throwing salt over your shoulder? Or not stepping on a crack? This man asked Jesus to settle a dispute, a family dispute, a legal dispute. And Jesus said, "You've got your focus wrong.
I wonder today if God might help us put things in focus. I remember when I was about 12 years old and they discovered that my eyes did not see clearly. I could see, just not clearly. But what had happened to me was all my life I had never seen clearly. And when you've never seen clearly, you think what you see is what it is. And I remember the first time I sat in that chair and they put that big machine and they said, you remember what they said it back then? They say it now. Number one, number two. Number one, number two. And then, number one, number two. And so finally pulled that machine away. And I had seen those lines and those numbers differently with one eye at a time. But then came the day when I went and got my first glasses. And I placed them on my face. And for the first time, the world came into focus. And I could see clearly. And I didn't know I couldn't see clearly because I had never seen clearly before. But I could tell the difference when I could see clearly. I pray today God might help us with our focus. Oh, I think we see. But do we see clearly? May God speak to us as we share this thought. Jesus tells a story. It's a story you've heard before. You've studied in Sunday school. You've heard better preachers than me preach better sermons than I'll preach today about it. The parable of the rich fool. The man who had his focus wrong. I like the way the story begins. He told this parable, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And then in verse 17 it says, and he thought to himself. And he thought to himself. When we give our thinking over to God, we have crossed the biggest obstacle to our faith. Let me say that again. When we give our thinking over to God, when we begin to see life through the focus of God, our thinking. Have you ever had somebody say something to you, and at first, you know, it didn't really bother you, and then you began to think about it. And the more you thought about it, the more you thought about it, the more you focused in what you thought he said or she said. How do we give that to God? He said to himself. He began to map out his own life. He began to map out his own plan. Maybe I could even say it. He began to map out his own faith. You see, I realize today that the greatest obstacle in Gary McCullough walking as close to God as Gary McCullough needs to is Gary McCullough. That's it. That's my biggest challenge every day. It's not what you might say to me. It's not what you may do to me. It's me. I love the old Negro spiritual. It ain't my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need. I need to understand that my default is wrong. Those of you who are in that computer world, default means what it goes back to. If you take your computer and it goes back to the default, it goes back to the way it started. Our default is wrong. Your default and my default. We must allow Christ in his newness. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 when he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. The problem that this rich fool had was not that he thought to himself. It was he did not filter his thinking to himself through his relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, Randy led our Baptist men's group meeting. And he said something I'd never thought of. I'd never heard it put that way. He said that, first he said there's a debt he couldn't pay, and he said he kept speaking just to him, but I don't know, some of it splashed over on me too. I felt like some of it I needed to hear. And then he said, how about 10% of our time? And then I think it was Dylan that figured that out to be 2 hours and 44 minutes. 24. Okay, 2 hours and 24 minutes. You just got 20 minutes free from this sermon today. Aren't you glad you came? 2 hours and 24 minutes. Could I ask us a question, and let's be honest with it. And it's a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer out loud. How many of us spent 2 hours and 24 minutes yesterday with God? Is our faith our superstition? Is it just something we keep in our back pocket or in the closet or in the glove box of the car? 2 hours and 24 minutes. When we begin to spend that kind of time with God, when we begin to give God 10% of a day, give Him half of that. Give Him just 1 hour and a few minutes a day. Do just half of that. Give Him 30 minutes a day. And our thinking, we'll no longer say, I thought to myself. We'll begin our conversations was, I was talking with God, and it was impressed upon me to, it's different, isn't it? And I tell you, I think what would happen, I remember when I lived in Beaufort, and we filtered out hard water. Anybody ever been to the coast and had hard water? Isn't that fun? You ever try to take a bath in hard water? Just throw the soap away. It just doesn't even work in hard water. But there's this big filter we keep pouring salt into, and we run that hard water through, and it filters it, and you can tell a difference in salt water and hard water. You don't have to go out and wonder if you got any salt in your hard water softener, your water softener. All you got to do is take a shower. And you'll admit, I've heard my wife holler, Gary, the thing's out of salt. And she hollered from the shower because she knew. Because what was coming out of the tap was different than it was before. Our focus. This man said, and I thought to himself, he thought, I know what I will do. And Brad did such a wonderful job of displaying the boldness in his heart. That's man's will, our focus. Secondly, let's look at the facts. Man's wealth. The facts are simple. Facts are just facts. Possessions are neutral. A car, whether it be a 1969 Pinto or a 2016 Rolls Royce, just a thing. Houses, whether they are in a mobile home park or in a gated community, they're just things. Possessions are fine, but greed is not. Now here's what I've discovered. This is what this man's struggling with in our text today. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll say to myself, self, take up your crops, you've done well, eat, drink, and be merry. What I've discovered is the more God blesses me, the greater my temptation to not bless God. The greater God blesses me. Somebody ought to write a hymn, Jimmy. Oh Lord, curse me today. Give me infirmity today. Make me struggle today. Because God, when you bless me, I mess it up. I get greedy. I get greedy when you bless me, God. The more you give me, the more I want. A faithful Christian named George, a story is told, was about to take a tremendous financial risk. He was going to risk it all on a business idea he had. He had prayed about it. He was a devout member of his church. He had been very faithful in his tithe and his attendance. He served in the church. He loved the church. He loved the Lord. And so right before he decided to do this, he thought he'd go and talk with his pastor. And so he came in and he talked to his pastor. He laid out the business plan. He said, I've been over this. I've had a lawyer to look at it. I really think it'll work. But it's going to take everything I've got. And if it doesn't work, I don't know.
pastor said, what have you and God? He said, I prayed about this more than anything in my life. And I really believe God wants this for me and my family. This product that we're going to produce will help our community. And so the pastor said, well, let's pray about it. You and I, let's just pray about it. And so they prayed. And in the prayer, the pastor said, Lord, you know this brother George, he loves you. And he has served you faithfully. He feels this is your call upon his life. And he will bless you, Lord, with what you bless him with. And he took the risk. And the business 2 years later had done more than anyone expected. It had far exceeded the business plan. It was indeed one of those get on the Fortune 500 kind of companies very quickly. Although he remained faithful in his church attendance, one day he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. So they set up a conference. He came into the pastor's office and he said, you know, Pastor, I've been struggling with some stuff. He said, really, what you been struggling with? He said, I don't think I can keep tithing. You just don't know how much money I make. And if I were to bring that tithe into the church, the pastor said, well, you remember what we did when we started? When you got ready to start this business?
Yeah.
What we do? Why don't we just pray about it? He said, Pastor, that sounds like a wonderful idea. So the prayer the pastor prayed with something like this. Heavenly Father, you entrusted an idea and a healthy body and a strong mind to George 2 years ago. And he promised to do that business as a steward of yours. He comes today, Lord, saying he's unable to continue to bless you, O God, because you've blessed him exceedingly above that which he's able to handle. So now, God, we ask for you to remove your blessing from his business, that it might fail and he might once again enjoy close fellowship with you. It's a valid prayer. It's a valid prayer. Many of us walk down this aisle one day, and if you came to me, you remember what I said? How do you come today? You say, I've come to join the church or to become a Christian, to accept Christ, to become a disciple. And I said, do you know you're a sinner? And you said, yes. I said, do you ask Christ to forgive you that sin? You said, yes. And then I ask you this question. Do you promise to make God the Lord of your life? Remember that? I do it every time. I do it every time. You remember it? I wonder if some of us today might need to pray, Lord, hurt my business a little bit. Hurt my job a little bit. Give me some trouble in the neighborhood, Lord. I'm too busy. You bless me too much, and I can't bless you like I used to, like I need to. Finally, this morning, not only do we need to see man's will and man's wealth, but we need to look at man's woes. There are two woes in this passage of Scripture. This night your soul will be required of you. Woe to the one who lays up treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven. I want to tell you, living in America, we're probably tempted more than anyone else. Probably more than anyone else. Our woe. There's a passage over in Matthew 6:19. You probably remember that passage. It's that one where Jesus is teaching. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where neither thieves break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then in verse 24 he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and he'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Pretty strong words. Our wealth. I think sometimes we get it wrong. Ed Young years ago preached a sermon, and in that sermon he told a pretty good story. He said that in that day he was really taking his son out, and he bought his son some candy. You ever done that with your child? Bought him some candy? About $5 worth of candy. I mean, this was like at the movie theater, you know. This was a long time ago. It's probably $150 now for a bag of candy, I guess. I don't buy candy at movie theaters. You can tell that, right? And they got to their seat. And there this kid with this great big old box. I guess they were Milk Duds. You remember Milk Duds? And he reached over to his son and said, "Give me some Milk Duds." You know what the little boy said? "No, these are mine. These are my Milk Duds." Did you hear that? I see smiles on some faces. Some other folks have had that same conversation before. Ed went on to say, "You know, I stood at that counter and reached in my back pocket and pulled out my $5 bill, and I paid for those Milk Duds that suddenly became my son's. My son came to the movie theater in the car that I drove, wearing clothes that I bought, on a ticket I paid for, going home tonight to sleep in a bed that I provided for him. Nah, you can't have none. They're mine." What's God asking us for today? Is it our faith, or is it our superstition? "No, God, you can't have none. It's mine." That's what the rich fool said. The world, you know, it slides one over on us. The great existential philosopher Sirhan Kierkegaard tells a story about a wild duck that was flying northward with all the other ducks in his flock. Wild duck. And he landed in a barnyard in Denmark, according to Sirhan Kierkegaard's story, where other ducks were. But these weren't wild ducks. These were tame ducks. These were domesticated ducks. These were ducks that didn't know the spirit of the wild. A lot of the ducks flew in because there was corn all over the ground, and ducks like corn. But after a normal amount of enjoying the corn, all the flock that knew the spirit of the wild flew on, except this one duck. And he thought, "It's good here. There are other ducks here, and the corn is good." And so he stayed, thinking, "I'll go on the way back." And sure enough, the flock came back, but this time they didn't stop. But they sent out that quack that only wild ducks hear, that spirit of the wild. And he heard it, and it stirred his heart, and it stirred that spirit in him, because in his heart, he was a wild duck. But all spring and all summer, he had gorged himself on the world of the barnyard. And there was no need to fly in the barnyard. And he had not tested his wings since he lighted on the trip down. And off he flew. But by the time he got to the top of the barn, my, was he tired, knowing he could never make the journey back north. He returned to the barnyard, saying to himself, "In the spring, when they come back again, I'll have myself in shape then. I'll be ready to go. They returned that spring. But by then, he couldn't even make it as high as the door. And when they came back in the fall, he didn't even try. The Spirit of God wants us to fly high. But the barnyard of the world will fill our lives and make us spiritually fat to where we cannot fly at all. Today, is it our faith? Was your soul stirred when you heard about singing to Jesus in order to live and dancing to Jesus in order to live, knowing that one day we will fly away to live with Him forever? We stand before God and give an account. What will we have done with what He's blessed us with? To whom much is given, much shall be required. May God give us spiritual eyes and ears to hear and see, and not be captured by the glitz and the glamour and the clamor of this world. May we keep our focus on our faith, that when the Spirit moves us, we'll be ready to fly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel means God with us, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you're speaking to our hearts right now. There's not a one of us here that identify ourselves as this rich fool, but yet when we begin to see with your eyes and hear with your ears, we may see some area in our life where we have taken what you've blessed us with and we've said, no, it's mine. Forgive us for that. Would you now speak to us clearly about what we need to do? And then would you hear us say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. Take me. Let me be a part of that. Bless me, Lord, that I might be a blessing. Not with my will, but with your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision and commitment this morning is page 482, All to Thee. Page 482. This morning, if the Lord is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, whether public or private, may each of us do so. May we realize we're not quite as smart as we might think. And may we answer that question during this hymn of invitation. Is it my faith or just a superstition? As we stand together.
Thank you.
Would you be seated for just a moment? Kyle and Kayla, come right here. How long have y'all been coming? 2 years? 2 years? For the last 2 years in our youth ministry, we've been privileged to have, these are brother and sister. They just happened to be born on the same day. Isn't that amazing? And Kayla and Kyle come today. We had a conversation this week. And they come professing Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. As their Lord and as their Savior. And in that coming today, they come presenting themselves, saying they'd like to be baptized as followers in obedience to our Lord's command, and after that, to become members of Flat Springs Baptist Church. Do I hear a motion that we welcome them into our fellowship? I hear motions and seconds. If you would join me in welcoming them, would you indicate that by saying, "Praise the Lord." We are so excited that God has brought you to us. And we're going to try to be the church that you need and your family needs to grow into the young lady and the young man that God would have you to be. You've made our day today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me at the back door there when we, where I usually stand. And everybody's going to come by and hug your neck. And they're going to do that. And they're going to tell you they're going to pray for you. And they really mean it. And they'll be here for you in so many ways because God has brought you to a good church family. It is a good day. Would you stand with me? Let me invite you to note all the things in the bulletin. You'll especially notice this CPR class we're trying to get. There's a sign up in the atrium. Also, we're doing the homeless shelter ministry. The pink sheets over here are the new and improved. Hope that you'll pick those up and be involved. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, there'll be a visitation in our fellowship hall for the Willard West family. The body will actually be in here. The family will be in the fellowship, and then the funeral will be at 5 o'clock this evening. So we ask you to continue to keep them lifted up in your prayers as well. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, may Your Spirit lead us this week in new ways, to new places, to new people, that we may share the old, old story. In Jesus' name.
Sits next to me in the choir a lot, Mr. Mike Wells. No, that's Adam. He sits beside me.